Without further ado, we're going to talk to Anna. So Anna, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Brendan. This is awesome. I'm on a lot of webinars and this is a high energy webinar. I really like what you have going on here.
No, well, thank you. Yeah. Well, we like to think of ourselves, I'm sure like you do, we're educational entertainers, right? If it was just education, it's kind of boring. So we have to try to bring it to life as best we can. But I want to use every minute possible to share with you. So, and if you just want to kind of give your origin story, if you will, so people understand that don't know you, who you are and why should we listen to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my background, I used to be a high school teacher in Baltimore, which I joke was the beginning of my sales career, because if you need to get some high school students to do homework, that is sales, let me tell you. I always said I would never do business or sales. And through just an interesting series of events, I ended up as a college recruiter, which is absolutely sales. And what I want to tell people to encourage you, because maybe you're like I was actually afraid I was going to be kicked off the team for low performance. I was not bringing in enough students. And I realized I either need to figure this out or leave, because this isn't working for me or the business. And I learned language patterns, which is a lot of what I'm very passionate about now. And it transformed everything. I went from feeling like an obnoxious salesperson to a consultant, a professional consultant that happens to have sales. And sales really became something I was passionate about. So I started training people in 2008 in another industry in sales. And then in 2013, hit a ceiling and came over to real estate. I sold 85 houses my first year. I was part of a team. So that's the power of a team. And then I went on and started coaching real estate agents through MAPS. So that's how I came here today. And I've walked the road of not succeeding. And that's why my heart goes out to agents. I know the pressure that can feel like, and I want to help them be successful. Yeah.
I love it. So first of all, wow. And I also think it's interesting where everyone came from, right? It's like, because I know we have some teachers on here. We have, you know, every background on earth, and some people get discouraged and they go, well, maybe it's just not the right personality style, or maybe I'm not the right, you know, D driver that has to go attack all these things and all of that. So in looking at this, right, coming from that background, one of the things you said was language patterns. Now, when you mean studying that, are we talking like neurolinguistic programming? Are we like, talk me through, what does that mean?
Yeah. So what a language pattern is it's a scientific step-by-step process of how to handle different scenarios that pop up. A lot of people ask me if I've had NLP training after they've taken the class, but that's not where I learned it from. But it's things like if someone picks up the phone and they say, oh, I'm really busy, can you just call me later? There are three specific steps to follow in order. You can do it in your own words. It's not prescribed words. But if you follow these three specific steps, they are much more likely to stay on the phone with you. So it's things like, what are the four steps to uncover an objection? What are the three steps to keep them on the phone? What are the five elements of a quality call opener? Things like that. And it's pretty much everything from hello all the way through a signed agency agreement.
Yeah. I love that. And with that, Anna, one of the things that we track that we believe is important is, and you kind of said it there, is length of time on the phone, right? Is the strategy that I should be on here longer? Should I be going for, like, is my goal to talk to 100 people a day or 50 people for twice as long? What do you feel is the better route? Yeah.
Man, there's so many ways to answer that. So here's what came to mind is it depends on the person and your skill level. So when I was new, I talked to a lot more people because I didn't have the skill level yet. I didn't know the language patterns then. And so I really had to talk to more people to compensate for my lack of skill. I think once your skill increases, the privilege of that is you are capable of talking to less people and getting a lot more out of it. So I don't know if that answers your question, Brendan, but I think it kind of depends on the individual and where you are with your skill set, honestly. But I would say quality conversation is the goal. That's the goal. Quality over quantity. But you do need both. You do need both.
Yeah. I think the quality is intimidating when you're new because you're worried the longer you want, you're on, you're almost going to be found out that you don't necessarily know what you're talking about, right? And so you get a little bit more nervous and you're like, okay, have a good day, right? And you go, I got my job done today. I get to mark a checkbox, right? I talk to another person. And then again, the goal is to build relationships and to earn trust quickly on the phone. So the second question I had is, one of the challenges, especially in our world, is facing consistent lead generation. So were you more of a sprinter, a marathoner? Did you do it every morning at a certain time? Were you sporadic? Like what when you were doing this, well, not in, that you're not any longer, but now you teach it a lot and run ISA departments and all these things. What's the secret sauce? Is it consistency? What do we do?
Yeah, it's 100% consistency. And I remember talking to my mentor one time and I was complaining and I was like, I'm bored. I don't feel like sitting here making these calls. And he goes, perfect. That means you're going to be successful. Success is boring because it's a lot of consistency day in, day out. The reward is very exciting, but the actual process of success is usually boring. So if you are a little bit bored, that doesn't mean something's wrong. And that was not what I wanted to hear from my mentor. And he was exactly right. He was 100% right. And so, especially in lead gen, I could nerd out. So just stop me if I need to. But the power of converting leads, we know, for example, if you call a new lead 6 times in 6 days or more, but not less, 90% of them will pick up or call you back. But if I'm not lead generating every day, what's the likelihood I am going to call new leads 6 times in 6 days? So consistency is the most important, and ideally morning. And the reason for that, we know from the book, The One Thing, we all have a certain amount of willpower every day and it kind of drains as we go throughout the day. So that's why morning really is best for lead gen, but it's also best for the people we're calling. So if everyone has only so much willpower, and I see a number on my phone I don't recognize, I, as somebody being called, will be more likely to answer it in the morning than in the afternoon. Because as the pick-upper, I'm going to be more exhausted in the afternoon. Right. So that's why morning tends to be best for those calls. Yeah.
I love it. And then, so 85 sales your first year, and then obviously becoming MAPS coach, and then you've also, you were an ISA or taught ISAs. Talk me through, for those that don't even know what an ISA is, what does that look like? Because I get this all the time. So, and some people, they've been in real estate 6 months. They go, you know what? I'm just going to hire an ISA. And I'm like, you've closed 3 houses and you're getting an ISA. And I'm not saying that's either right or wrong. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, man, I get that as well. So inside sales agent, ISA means inside sales agent. And the easy definition of it is, their job is to lead generate and lead convert all day. So when I was doing inside sales on a team, I lead generated in the morning, which, by the way, our entire agent team did as well. So all of our buyer agents, all of our listing agents, 3 hours in the morning from 9 to 12, all of us were lead generating. And then in the afternoon, they would go out and work with clients and do showings. And I would keep going for another 3 hours in the afternoon. And I would break it up, back to your previous question. I usually would go an hour, take a break. But I'm trying to remember what the full question was.
The question was, so in your journey, you went 85 sales, then you decided to kind of go the ISA route from what I remember from us chatting, what was the journey, kind of through that? Because I mean, you're doing 85 sales and nothing against what you were making as a teacher, but you probably 10x'd your income in a year?
Yeah, I made more in a month than I made in a whole year as a teacher. Yeah, right. In Baltimore. Right. And that's part of what motivated me, was being very crystal clear on what my personal goals were. You know, at the time I was the caretaker for my mom, who was a cancer patient. Cancer is expensive to manage. And it was really just me and her. And so I was very crystal clear on why I was working. And there were days that I didn't want to make a call, and it was, okay, do I not want to make, I have two choices. I can either not make calls, but then what that means is I'm going to have to take something off of my vision board. I can't do both. I can't not make calls and keep all of my goals. So I think the first thing was just getting very clear on what the goals were. And then Brendan, going back to your, I can't remember what you called it, the scorecard,
where you scorecard.
Numbers every day. That was the thing that made it crystal clear, because it wasn't, what does the industry say I should do? It was based on my actual conversion numbers. How many people do I need to talk to every day to hit this big financial goal that I'm aiming towards? And that came from tracking. So getting clear on that is what helped me. And the personal motivation is what kept me moving forward. Because there were a lot of days I did not feel like lead generating. It's boring. I thought it was boring. And I'm saying that as a lead gen coach. And I think that's okay. Sometimes it's exciting and sometimes it's boring. And but the rewards of it have been incredible. So
you're right. And I think it's just like, it's boring if you play professional guitar, right? Yeah. Learning a song and playing the same song over and over again, it gets boring, of course, right? But again, you get so much better at it. That's where you can make that guitar sing, right? And you can do these types of things. And so it's just like everything. It's that level of consistency. And what you were saying there about the scoreboards, right? Or scorecards, however you want to say it. When we're looking at this, and what I found was fascinating to me is people think that is a mechanism of like tracking, and the reason they got into real estate was to have freedom. What I found is it made me less stressful, because I just knew exactly what I had to do to make exactly what I wanted to make, like you said, for my vision board or for whatever it is that I was trying to accomplish. And that was so much less stressful than waking up every day going, what should I do today? And who should I call? And what should be the plan? And I watch agents just sit there and agonize over not knowing what to do. I just knew if I made X amount per phone call, and I knew I made X amount per nose, just go get a bunch of nose and make some money, right? And make, and then get better, practice. And then those numbers got bigger and bigger and bigger. And life got better and better and better, not working harder. Right. It's either you're going to sit there for 3 hours every morning, and I don't know. Some agents, I'm still confused on what the game plan is every morning. Or you're going to sit there for 3 hours, have a Nerf hoop, be bored with lead gen. You're going to hit gold. Yeah. It's kind of like playing a slot machine. You're just going to keep pulling, and you know those 3 sevens are going to come up eventually. But is it 1 in 36 odds? 1 in 25 odds? But the difference between this and the slot machine, we can make it improve our odds, right? We actually have the ability to improve the odds. So I love that. So one of the questions I had is, do we need more leads, more follow-up, or better skills if you could only pick one?
I would say better follow-up. I want to say something about what you just said. So maybe if we have time, we can
please.
Come back.
Please.
What I find in coaching teams is a lot of times they come and we start talking and they're like, I need more leads. What leads should I add? And I say, well, before we do that, let's look at how many leads you already have and let's do a quick audit. And what we find is a lot of times they have leads that they're not consistently calling. When they come in, they might call them once or twice. And as we've already mentioned, if you call leads 6 times in 6 days, you get a much better contact ratio. And I'm thinking of a team right now that they were like, yeah, these leads are terrible. And they were converting them at about 3%, which isn't terrible, but it's not great. Right. And within about a month, we got them up to 6% conversion on those same leads. And they were like, they didn't do anything other than just start calling them more consistently. So I'm a fan of better follow-up and skill. But if you had to pick just one, say your skill is average. If you simply just call consistently, you will convert leads because you're going to bump into the people that are ready and they're willing, even if you're not, you know, the most skilled with your conversations, you know? So I would say first work on your follow-up strategy, second work on, which is the consistency. And then secondly, work on your skill. And most people that I talk to, it's very rare that I talk to a team that needs actually more lead sources. Right. That's very right. Uncommon actually.
Yeah. And when you were doing your lead generation, every morning, is there kind of a check down? Is there a hierarchy? Is it like, hey, follow up first, expireds first, or were you doing expireds? Like what was the, What was the hierarchy and the strategy throughout the morning? Because I think that's where some of us struggle too, is we have some of us, and not some, a lot of us have good intentions. We just have bad plan, right? We don't have the best plan. So what was the strategy on the daily for like the hierarchy of who's first, or was it just talk me through that?
Yeah. So first, I think it's important for every agent to be clear, what are your top five lead sources for closings in the past? And if you're new, you won't know that yet, but you will come to know it the longer you're in the business. But what are your top five sources for closings, and make sure you're working those. So what I would do is I would come in the morning aware of those five sources and look at what new leads came in overnight or first thing this morning that are sitting there in the new status, meaning I've never tried to call them. This is, we have done nothing yet. And that was top priority. For me, I love calling expireds and for sale by owners. They are two of my favorite lead sources. By the way, I used to get sick to my stomach calling them. I used to hate them. So when this is a side note, but I used to think I hated phone calls, and it's because I hadn't done it. And once I actually did it, it took maybe 3-ish months to build the skill. But once the skill was there, I was like, I actually really like this. I like the rude expired because I'm going to make them laugh before we hang up, you know? And so for me, I would call expireds, I would call for sale by owners, and then any new lead that came in overnight that had not yet had attempt. And the first half of lead generation was focused on first time conversations. And then the second half of lead generation was focused on follow up. So if I'm only lead generating in the morning, maybe I'm an agent and I work with clients in person in the afternoon, maybe I'm lead generating for, say, 3 hours, which is what we did on our team. The first hour and a half, I'd be focused on people I've never talked to ever. Maybe I've left them some voicemails, but we've never had voice to voice. And then the second hour and a half would be follow up phone calls of, hey, how did it go talking to the lender? Or what did you find out that you owe on your house? Conversations like that. Does that answer it for you?
Good. Yeah, no, it is perfect. And then one of the things that I think you just hit on too is, as you start to gamify it, right? And you could even hear say, it's like, even though this expired might say something, and this is the other thing too, that everyone thinks these expireds are so vicious. They're not. It's like one in a rare time. I mean, not rare. It depends on how consistent you are. You're going to get somebody that's irritated in the morning. And I always just felt sorry for them. I was just like, you didn't get your house sold. You're frustrated. You're not really mad at me because you don't know me. I'm a random person on the phone. If I can make this funny and bring a little joy into your life and still get hung up on, next one up, right? And just letting it go. So one more here, building trust and rapport are obviously vital parts of establishing client relationships. Can you share some of your strategies you employ to establish trust and credibility as you lead generate and do your lead follow-up? Like, how do you make people feel like they can trust you enough to come over and meet them?
Yeah. So two things. And the first answer I'll give you will touch back on what you just said about the irritated expired in the morning is, it's first mindset of realizing this isn't about me. And even if I were to say that I have a negative response from this person, if we both went to Trader Joe's in 30 minutes and we were in line behind each other, we wouldn't even know it was us. So why am I so afraid of this person? Why am I letting someone I don't know, that I can't see, they can't see me, keep me from my goals? Really? And so the first thing for me to build trust, and this might be a personality thing, but I would try to make them laugh. So one time I had an expired who was, he had some choice words. Let's just say that. And in the middle of it, I took a drink of coffee and I started coughing enough. Like, it was one of those, I can't catch my breath kind of coughs. And he stops, he goes, are you okay? And it just came to my mind. I said, yeah, I'm honestly just choked up that you're not meeting with me. That's all. And he was quiet. And then he busted into laughing and he's like, all right, that was funny. I'll meet with you. And that taught me, okay, if I can get him laughing, that's going to help. The second thing that's a bit more strategic, it's because that's somewhat personality, but using their exact words. So for example, if they say, you know, I'm interested in downsizing, taking the word downsizing, don't turn it into smaller house, don't turn it into a new place, use the word downsizing, because that's what they said. It's called keyword backtracking. And you could ask an open-ended question, well, what's important to you about downsizing? And matching their words goes a long way. I had an investor call, and he also wasn't being very kind. And I just did that. I was using his words. I was taking notes so I could remember all his specific words, and I was saying them back to him in the form of questions. And he goes, "I don't know what it is about you. I don't like realtors, but I actually would like to meet with you, but I'm not going to hire you, but I would like to meet with you." And I thought, he's confused, but I know exactly why he feels that way, is I'm keyword backtracking. And I'm using his language back to him in the form of questions. And so he's feeling heard, and he might not realize why, but that is why. So we right. talk about that a lot in class, because it's a little complex, but that is the gist of it. Yeah.
Which I love, right? To build trust, I want to work with somebody that is like me, because I hopefully like me for the most part. And so if you sound like me, I'm going to probably be more likely to like you and then work with you. So I love that. I think that makes a huge amount of sense. I wish we had more time, which I always say I would love. So first of all, give Anna some love in the chat box. Give her a ton of love, a lot of huge nuggets in there. And we are really honored that someone is going to get to enjoy this entire course. So for everyone else that may not get the chance to win, what's the reason why I would want to take the course? At the end of it, I'm going to talk me through, if you could summarize for everyone else here that should be attending it, no matter what, if they win or not, what am I going to get? Why would I want to go?
Yeah. I mean, you'll experience what I experienced, which was not as many sales as I wanted to, actually more sales than I expected. I like to say it takes people from, and no, I love salespeople. That's why I'm in this industry. And I specifically love real estate salespeople. But it takes us from being potentially like cringy salespeople. That's all about us and what we want. Even if that's not our heart, sometimes our language can come across that way. And it teaches the language patterns to make you a trusted consultant, that it's an obvious choice to choose you. And I've seen the results of the program. I had someone recently say, "I'm only halfway through and I'm already sitting in front of 10 extra people a month because of this class." Ooh. "And I'm only halfway through." That's what keeps me going and gets me fired up to teach the class, is because the ripple effect of that is huge. So if you are sitting there thinking, "I would love to have more closings and I would like to be more confident on the phone," it's a no-brainer. And I would say that even if I wasn't the instructor of the class, it's the content that makes the class what it is.
I love it. I love it. Well, again, we'll put it in the chat box to sign up for those that want to sign up. If you win, we'll just refund your money, but don't let anything stop you from signing up no matter what. Anna, thank you for the time today. If there's anything any of us can ever do, and then we'll put all of her contact information everywhere to find you, because I know you have your MAP stuff and then your own whole coaching programs. So we're big fans. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if we have any other questions, we'll try to follow up with Anna and make sure we get those answered for everyone. But Anna, can't thank you enough. Have a lovely day.
Yeah. And thank you, Brendan. This was awesome. You all have a great instructor in Brendan. This was really amazing. So thank you for having me.
Have a good one.